Well, I'm so delighted to have Mr. John Dalton come, who is our Dean of Men, speak this morning. A number of things I appreciate about John. Number one, I just love him. He's a great guy. He's an athlete, which I like. He has a passion for the Lord, and he has a great sense of humor. Every time I see him, he's either smiling or laughing. And so it's really a joy to have him come, because last semester he really challenged our heart about the matter of the family. And I think you'll find the message to be just as challenging today.
All right, go with me in your Bible this morning to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Not sure if I can quite match the president's athletic prowess from his illustration yesterday, but we'll see if we can. There is certainly a common interest there. Have you ever stopped to consider how many sermons you've listened to in your lifetime? I did some basic math here over the last, I think it took me about a week to do it. And I had an engineering major that actually took a break from Calc 3 and helped me check my facts. But I did a little bit of computing and figured out, I won't go through all these because I probably spent too much time figuring out some of these numbers. We'll just share some numbers that will affect most of you in this room. If you were to add up all the messages, chapels, and Sunday services in a school year that you would have the privilege to listen to, that's right about 192 messages. Now, once you add in Bible conference, that would put you right about 200. Now, if you were to add in Christmas and summertime, that's another 40 sermons. Back out 4 weeks maybe because of sickness or vacation or service cancellations, and you end up right about 232. So you hear right about 230 sermons a year as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, senior. But by the time you've spent 4 years, you seniors will have heard around 920 sermons. And if every sermon averaged out to be about 30 minutes a sermon, that's about 19 days worth of sermons. That's about 3 weeks of 24/7 listening to preaching. Now, if you did all your undergrad studies at BJ and you stayed on for 2 years as a GA, you've heard 1,380 sermons. And I didn't even get into you academy graduates, you know, you started coming to chapel before. I didn't factor in those of us faculty staff members who've been here for 10 or 20 years. And I didn't even count things like Wednesday night prayer meeting, society challenges, discipleship group devotionals, pulpit speech sermons. Bottom line is we're under the influence of preaching an awful lot for good reason. I wonder if you're like me and you ask yourself from time to time, what do I have to show for all of that preaching? Now, I'm like you, you're like me when it comes to listening to preaching. You know, I always face the same kinds of questions that you do. The person up there, you know, is he interesting? You know, does he present his material in a winsome way? Does he use a lot of illustrations? Do I have a previous relationship with him? You know, that's pretty important to be able to hear somebody. I tend to give them a little bit more slack if I've got a relationship with them. And I size them up, and so do you. All of us do that. Jesus had a recurring theme when addressing those who would be his followers. He would sometimes either introduce or conclude his teaching by the following: "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Let these sayings sink down into your ears." The letters to the churches in Revelation: "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." And there's this recurring emphasis that Christ wants us to be careful how we hear. Here in Matthew 13, Jesus delivers the parable of the sower. And that's the best name for the parable because that's what it's called in the Bible. But some have suggested that it might be called better the parable of the soils. I'd like to suggest today that maybe there's a good cause to entitle this parable the parable of the hearers. In fact, if you would read verses 10 through 23, and we won't take the time to do that, that's about 14 verses, Jesus mentions hearing 16 different times. And fundamentally, this parable of the sower is a parable of caution. It's a parable of caution about how we hear God's word. In verses 11 through 17, Jesus uses, is describing his use of parables as a way of illustrating the polarization that was taking place among his hearers. Some were rejecting his message. Some were receiving his message. And Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah while explaining why he spoke in parables. He spoke actually to hide the truth from those who didn't believe. And he spoke to reveal the truth to those who did believe. Unless we be too troubled about the fairness of such purposes, remember that Jesus did deliver his messages to all and encouraged anyone with ears, and that would be everybody, to receive his message. There were those who simply refused to hear the truth, and as a result, the truth hardened them even more. And there were those who chose to believe the truth, and as a result, that truth strengthened them. And there are those two groups of people today in chapel. Some of you, the more preaching you hear, the more hardened you get. Some of you, the more preaching you hear, the more sensitive you get. And I want us to just consider today this admonition that I believe is it's Christ's admonition to us repeatedly in his teachings, and that is that we be careful how we hear. Now, I'm not going to read the entire parable, but let's go ahead and just read Jesus' interpretation of the parable in verses 18 to 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into a stony places, this is the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. And he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You see, the parable of the sower illustrates that there is a way to hear the word with profit, but there are several ways to hear the word without profit. Let's look at these quickly. These are familiar to you. You've heard many messages. You've studied these yourselves, but let's think of them in context of the way we tend to listen to preaching. The declaration of God's word to us. And I really want this to be something we can practically take away and be challenged, certainly, about the way we listen, but also be provoked to consider how we can gain more from the preaching we are so privileged to hear in this place. The seed sown by the wayside is the first seed described in verses 18 through 19. And this is that hearer that hears the word and he doesn't seem to understand it. Seems that he fits in this category that Isaiah speaks of, that airwaves bearing words pass through his ears, and yet faith does not reach up and grab those words and draw them to his heart. His heart is conditioned. It's rather numb. You know, you could have a preacher get up and speak of the mercies of God and the deliverance we have from his wrath through Jesus Christ, and this hearer would be relatively unmoved. All right, athletic illustration. I like to jog every once in a while. I usually either pull a muscle or get sick, and so I jog like every 2 weeks. That's kind of what happens. But every once in a while, I jog. Last year I was jogging just through the neighborhood, something friendly, usually early before anyone's awake. And it's not a pretty sight, but I was jogging up through the neighborhood, and as maybe some of you serious joggers, or you could be like me, a casual jogger, have experienced before, a dog got loose, okay? Dogs are funny. They do different things. Some of them just look at you. Some of them really like the idea of chasing you. And I had the lot of experiencing the second kind of dog on this particular morning. And I was, of course, going uphill, and I'd already been running for a couple miles, and so I was winded, and it's always the chain. You can hear the chain kind of clanking against the dog's belly, you know, and you say, okay, he's moving. All right, no, he's coming after me. Yep, sure enough. And so I'm running, and he's getting faster, and I thought maybe I can just outdistance him. And he started picking up the pace. And he was one of those dogs that, you know, he was not a big mastiff. I mean, he wasn't a huge thing, but he had the square head, you know, and short, stocky legs. He looked like he could really do some damage if he got a hold of me. And knowing that I was a little winded, I was a little concerned. So he kept coming up the hill, and I got desperate, and I started thinking, what should I do? I don't think I can really outrun him. So I whipped around in the middle of the street. I was in the street. I whipped around, and I just yelled at him with everything I could. Just screamed at him right in his face. He was probably 10 yards from me. And this is what he did. He stopped and he did this. And I continued on my way and he didn't follow me. You know, I think sometimes that's what this kind of hearer is like. The word is delivered and we hear it and it passes through and we just kind of cock our heads in recognition that an event took place, but nothing else takes place. Then what happens to that precious seed of the word? Well, it remains, because it remains on the ear of the hearer, the devil comes by and snatches the word away. And you know what? This shouldn't just be an, oh, by the way. But do you believe that there's a devil? There is a real devil. And do you know he has a specific desire in relation to preaching? He wants to snatch the seed of the word away. Do you realize what that means? This means that you and I are in a spiritual battle every time we hear the word preached. Every time someone gets up to declare the word, the devil wants to ruin that experience. J.C. Ryle said, "Nowhere perhaps is the devil so active as in a congregation of gospel hearers. Nowhere does he labor so hard to stop the progress of that which is good and to prevent men and women being saved. From him, from the devil, come wandering thoughts and roving imaginations and listless minds and dull memories and sleepy eyes and fidgety nerves and weary ears and distracted attention. In all these things, Satan has a great hand. People wonder where they come from and marvel how it is that they find sermons so dull and remember them so badly. They forget the parable of the sower. They forget the devil." What a sobering reminder that is. Do you know when you come into chapel every day, the devil comes in too, and he has a purpose to take anything that's delivered and snatch it away. Don't underestimate the devil. Number two, the second hearer is illustrated in the seed that's sown on stony ground in verses 20 and 21. This is the individual who hears the word with joy and immediately receives it. But afterwards, opposition and trial comes and he falls away. He doesn't endure. Now, this is an interesting hearer. Jesus kind of has a way of destroying our stereotypes, doesn't he? Because, you know, this hearer could very well be sitting here today on the edge of your seat, anxiously anticipating what's being said. This hearer really enjoys good preaching. He avidly records sermon notes. He checks the website to see who's preaching. He nods his head in agreement as the word is preached. But his appreciation of what is being preached is more of an emotional experience. It makes him feel better. But the result is no different than that of the hearer who lets the sound waves pass through his ears. In fact, this hearer is actually exposed at a most strategic time. He faces a trial. He faces an obstacle. He faces a testing. Something unwanted comes into his life. And because the seed has never made its way to his heart, he is offended, is the term that Matthew uses here. It means, and we're going to be hearing about this, I think, probably in the future with Dr. Pettit's emphasis, he falls away. He doesn't believe. And because he doesn't believe, there's no fruit. The hearer that receives the word on stony ground. Let's move on. The seed is sown on thorny ground. In verse 22, this one always makes for good preaching, doesn't it? But there's good material here that we need to stop and think about. This is the man or the woman who hears the word, but the cares, and those are the anxieties. 1 Peter 5:7 is talking about those cares that we have, those anxieties or worries of this world. Those things and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the seed. How many of us know what it's like to be this kind of hearer? Well, the cares of this world, this isn't necessarily referring to anything wicked. This is just a reference to stuff, the kind of stuff that races through our minds every day. There's just so much to think about. And young people, your generation is facing an unprecedented challenge to test the limits of what your brains can handle. You're bombarded with so much sensory material. One article I read said this: conventional wisdom and brain research support the idea that there are limits to how much our brains can process at once. The research also indicates that performance decreases when a person attempts to perform two tasks simultaneously. Multitasking may also affect the ability to comprehend content. And we're all masters at multitasking. Well, my wife would tell you I'm not. But many of us do a couple of things well at the same time. Let me encourage you not to multitask when you're hearing preaching. You need to be very monotonously focused on the truth, setting aside the cares, the burdens, the anxieties, the worries. But the deceitfulness of riches. Why didn't Jesus pick up any number of fleshly ensnarements? Why didn't he say the cares of this world and the paralyzing effects of fear? Or the numbing consequences of sloth? Well, perhaps because 1 Timothy 2 says there's nothing more than the false promises of riches that does more to draw men into temptation and a snare and drown men in destruction and ruin. So this hearer loses all benefit from the word due to a multitude of competing cares in his heart and the foolish pursuit of temporal gain. But lastly, the seed sown on good ground. Verse 23, this is who we all want to be like. Remember, he's no different. Every single one of these guys is described as hearing the word. He didn't do anything different to start with than the others. They all heard the word. But he understands it. This is what Christ would have us be. We hear the word, it passes through our ears, it registers in our hearts. In fact, the reason that this hearer produces fruit to such an abundance, 30, 60, 100-fold, is no doubt because he does a little bit more than hear the word. What does he do? He obeys the word, right? Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount just 6 chapters earlier by saying there's 2 types of builders, a wise one and a foolish one. The wise man is the one that hears these sayings of mine and he does them. And that, because of that, his house is firmly built on the rock. Now I want to close with just some practical suggestions, okay? What can you and I do to hear the word in a fruitful way? What can we do as we approach preaching? What are some tips we can take into consideration as we approach the preached word? And that's whether it's in your church on Sunday, whether it's in your chapel service on Wednesday. We've got some tremendous material that's coming from chapel this year. I don't know if you're being blessed. I hear that you are. My soul has been stirred. We're hearing some great things. What can we do to make sure we're getting all we get? Number one, prepare yourself ahead of time. Prepare yourself ahead of time. Get proper rest. You say, that's crazy. I understand. We all have to be, we're all busy. And your lives are very busy. But don't be foolish. There's foolishness in staying up and spending 2 and 3 hours after midnight studying, doing other things that are supposed to stop after midnight in the residence halls anyway. And so what should we be doing? Let's use that time to get some rest. You're a zombie in chapel because you don't sleep when you're supposed to sleep. So prepare ahead of time when you can, as much as you can, to get rest. Not only get proper rest, but ask God to minister his truth to you. Now, we don't have time for a campus-wide prayer meeting before chapel every day. It's just not part of the schedule. But you could, even when you come in and when you hear the opening prayer, while the prayer's being prayed, "Oh Lord, please help me to learn from your word today." That's simple. Come asking God to minister his truth to you. So prepare yourself ahead of time. Second, come expecting to hear from the Lord. You've prayed, you've asked him, come expecting to hear. I'm going to chapel anticipating that there's going to be something for me today that I need. And no, it's not maybe always going to be something like a message directly pointed to your specific circumstance that morning. It may be a theological truth you need to register in your heart to keep you straight for the rest of your life. But come expecting. Don't come groaning, "Oh, who's speaking today?" No, come expecting that God's going to speak to your heart. So prepare yourself ahead of time. Come expecting to hear from the Lord. Number three, be willing to work. Be willing to work. Listening to preaching is not like watching the Super Bowl, and it's not like listening to your favorite music. Those are generally passive experiences. They're enjoyment. You just sit back and you kind of take them in. Listening to preaching is more like praying. It's hard work. And I know that I won't ask for a raise of hands, but most of you, I'm sure, could sympathize with me. When you sit down to pray, you think of 150 other things that go race through your mind instead of focusing on praying, don't you? Keep a little notebook next to you where you can jot down. Because sometimes things cross your mind that, "Oh boy, I've got to pick up Jonathan after school today. Got to make sure I do that." Yeah, that's not something you want to forget. So it's not like, "Oh, can't stop that." No, pause, write it down, go back to prayer. Keep something out you can take notes with. But there are many things that bombard our minds in prayer, just like they do when we preach, when we listen to preaching. So concentrate, put away distractions. If your phone distracts you, don't use your phone. Don't use your phone to read the passages. Take notes. Try to take some notes. Write down some things that God's teaching you. Now, for some of you, taking notes would be a distraction itself. You miss maybe what the preacher's trying to say, and I understand that. But for a lot of us, recording some things that God's saying are actually be a help to us. It's something that helps us, but it takes some work. Chapel, Sunday services, preaching of the word, it cannot be a passive experience for the listener. We have to be engaged. We have to be willing to work. Because when we work, that's when we get the benefit. So, prepare yourself ahead of time. Come expecting to hear from the Lord. Be willing to work. And then, at the end, number four, review your notes. Take some time, maybe before you go to bed at night, or even in your devotions the next morning. Look over what you've heard. This is what we call meditation. It's calling back to mind intentionally what God says and chewing on it. It's a great passage, great song that we ought to sing when we come to chapel. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While you're calling on others, don't pass me by." That's how eager I am to hear what you have to say. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, right in the book of our theme this year. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." The gospel of Jesus was much more important than angels. And so the writer is saying, take heed to what is being said. If you don't take heed, if you don't pay attention, if you don't listen up, it'll slip out of your fingers. I trust that by God's grace, we'll listen to preaching with a zeal, with an earnestness. I think as we do that, and as we obey, God will help us to bear fruit to his glory. Shall we pray? Father, use these simple thoughts. This message is so basic and yet so necessary. I need it. We need it. So help us to heed your word, to hear it, and let it sink down into our hearts. Be careful how we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.